This is Jay Sekulow from London, England. A major victory at the Supreme Court.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
So AP reporting that Hobby Lobby has won this case. According to the Associated Press, the justices did a 5-4 decision.
Essentially, in this opinion, 5-4 opinion by Justice Alito, the split you would expect with Kennedy going with a more conservative wing, says that in holding that the HHS mandate is unlawful, we reject the government's arguments that the owners of companies forfeit all their protections when they decide to organize as corporations rather than as sole proprietorships. And basically, it goes on to say that the regulations here violate the religious freedom, as under the federal law, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which prohibits the federal government from taking any action that substantially burdens the exercise of religion.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We thank all of those who have stood with the Hahn family and the Green family in this battle for religious liberty. And we just celebrate today this win for the right that our founders fought and died for. Thank you.
And now your host, Dan Bennett.
Hey everyone, welcome into Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C., joined by David French in Franklin, Tennessee. And folks, this is a huge news day at the ACLJ. I am going to go right to Jay, who is joining us by phone from London. Jay, a major, major victory at the Supreme Court of the United States just minutes ago.
Well, gigantic, actually, Than. And I was just on Fox News a few minutes ago, and would be on Sean Hannity's television broadcast tonight. But this was a huge one, 5-4. It's the Hobby Lobby cases. There's a series of cases. There was the Hobby Lobby case, the Conestoga Woods case. And then we had seven cases, two of which were already at the Supreme Court waiting for this. We had won ours successfully, and now with this, of course, we'll guarantee wins on those. So this was a huge day and a huge repercussions, I think, for religious freedom. And some people have tried to say, well, it's a narrow decision because it's 5-4. Let me tell you something. As somebody that argues a lot of cases at courts and the Supreme Court in particular, whenever you win, it's a win. I was on, when I was talking to Judge Napolitano this morning, I said I had a case once where we had lost below and Chief Justice Rehnquist asked me, how do I want the new opinion to read? And I said, somewhere I'd like it to say reversed. And it's exactly the same thing here. This was a big win. It was a 5-4 win, which is not insignificant, by the way, and it was, of course, an opinion by Justice Sam Alito. So a big decision, a huge win for religious liberty. If you want to celebrate with us, let me encourage you to give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. I'm actually in London. I came down from Oxford where we're doing a program dealing with the Middle East. We'll get into more of that later in the week. David, you've had a chance to actually read the opinion. I've just seen excerpts right now. Very positive, huge victory.
Oh, extremely positive result. I mean, here are a couple of key things. Number one, the court said, yes, a family business does have a religious liberty right. And in so doing, that's a big win for religious liberty when applied to this abortion pill mandate and applied going forward to unforeseen cases. So that's a big win for religious liberty right there. And then they went and they said, yes, this abortion pill mandate substantially burdens the religious liberty rights of Hobby Lobby, and that the government can't overcome, it cannot justify that burden. So this is a direct defeat for those who want to essentially draft Christian folks into the abortion industry. And that's what the Obama administration was doing.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Let me tell you what the score is. The Obama administration lost. And lost in a case where they had put resources into going after nuns. So there was a whole series of these cases up there. Our friends at the Beckett Fund, the Alliance Defense Fund, they had the Conestoga Woods case. The Alliance Defense Fund, Beckett Fund, had portions of Hobby Lobby as well. We had a series of cases that we had won, two of which, David, were up there, which obviously we were successful with, and they'll be certainly successful now. So the government took up two of our cases. So these were big wins all the way around.
Oh, huge, huge wins. I mean, this is a great day for liberty. This is a great day for life. And I think those who want more details need to go to aclj.org. Jay has already posted a blog post there. In the first 12 minutes it was up, we had 2,000 likes on that blog post. This is something that's resonating across the United States of America. If you want to participate with us, if you want to celebrate with us, as Jay said, call in now, 800-684-3110. Read the details in aclj.org, and we will be right back after this break.
What appeared to be a tremendous victory for religious freedom has taken an unexpected turn for the worse. Miriam Ebrahim, imprisoned with her two young children because of her Christian faith, had been released by the Sudanese government, spared torture and the death penalty. But one day later, while she and her family were at the airport, her attorney says she was rearrested and her family taken into custody by Sudanese officials. Miriam and her family's fate are now unclear. At the ACLJ, we've launched a global campaign on Miriam's behalf. Now we must focus on pressuring Sudan to release her and the family and permit them to return to the United States. Time is of the essence. We must apply immediate international pressure to free Miriam and her family. And we must urge the Obama administration to grant Miriam and her American kids safe passage and immediate legal status in the United States. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, folks, I'm going to go right back to Jay, but let me just quickly say this is a stinging rebuke on the Obama administration. I know we've had a lot of callers this week talking about impeachment, but folks, let me tell you, this is how you rein in an out-of-control executive. You beat him at the Supreme Court. You make a convincing legal argument. That happened today, Jay, and this is the way that you push back on an executive that has exceeded his bounds.
There's no doubt about it, and this was, you know, people are saying, well, it was 5-4. Let me tell you, that's a win, and it's a significant win here with the Religious Freedom Restoration Act applying to closely held private businesses, which means their right to free exercise of religion, all of that is protected. It's the same standards that apply. So this is a huge win. I don't know if we have Congressman James Blankford with us yet. Do we have the congressman?
Yes, we do.
Okay, great. Congressman, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks for being with us today.
You bet. Thanks, guys, very much.
Well, I'm speaking to you, Congressman, from London. I'm actually doing a program at Oxford on the Middle East, but you know a lot about this case, and that's because Hobby Lobby's in your district, the Green family. Your reaction when the Supreme Court decision came down?
Yeah, very pleased. I'm going through the decision like everyone else is. I've spent the last hour reading through the opinion and going through not only the dissent of Ginsburg, but the actual opinion and the comments from Kennedy. Pleased at the breadth that they're going through at this point. Trying to say that individuals do have the right to be able to not only have a religion, but also practice their religion. And that's what's interesting that comes out, is that this argument of, yes, you can have a faith, but you just can't practice it at work, has been set aside by this court to say, if you have a faith, you can only have it, practice it at home, but you can also practice it at work.
Well, I think you're right. The most significant aspect of this to us, of course, is that not only did it recognize the rights for families like the Greens and a lot of other businesses, we had seven of these cases ourselves, but it also is a pretty significant rebuke to the Obama administration, who is giving waivers to everyone except the nuns and Christian businesses and small businesses that had moral convictions. What's your sense of that proportionality, Congressman, with regard to not just the law here, but how it relates to the president's overreach?
Right. It is another case of president's overreach. It reminds me of a similar case just about, 4 years ago when you had the case on the Missouri Synod school where they came back and said that the administration can force a church to hire a certain minister and can compel them. The Supreme Court set that aside and said the federal government cannot force a church to hire a certain minister. This comes back to the same thing again, where it says the federal government cannot step into an individual and say you cannot practice your faith at work. And they continue to come back on this closely held corporations over and over again. But even when you read the opinion, They make it fairly broad to say a corporation itself is made up of persons, and those persons don't lose their Fourth Amendment right of search and seizure just because they're within a corporation. Neither do they lose their freedom of faith as well and religion.
People have tried to say that it's a narrow decision. Justice Ginsburg, in her dissent, certainly doesn't think so. We're going to get into that in the next segment of the broadcast. Congressman, let me ask you this. From just the standpoint of you know the Green family and their convictions, what do you think this win says to the American people, especially people of faith?
I'd say the Green family is an extremely quiet, extremely dedicated Christian family. They live their faith out in day-to-day life, and they are not pursuing any kind of publicity. They didn't pursue this. They didn't change any of their practice. It's very clear, and people need to understand, the Green family did not pursue this. The Obama administration pursued them and forced them into this. They simply stood up for their own religious freedom and for the religious freedom of Americans all over the country. To say that an administration can't say, we disagree on faith issues, and so you have to change your faith practice to the faith of the administration. That's not so in any administration. That's not so in this administration. Americans cannot be compelled to change their faith practice to the preferences of any administration.
Congressman, I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to be with us, and thank you for the stance you've taken on so many issues, including this. Thanks for being with us today.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
That was Congressman James Langford, by the way. In his district, Than, is the Hobby Lobby family. What's been the reaction on Capitol Hill so far? We heard from the Congressman, Than. What else are we hearing?
Yeah, very similar to what you heard from Congressman Langford. We heard from Congressman Forbes, Congressman Kelly, a number of others. Basically, Jay, what you heard from Congressman Langford, that this was a clear and convincing victory. And I would just add to something that Congressman Langford said. A second layer to this was the fact that the court was very specific in acknowledging that it was very problematic that a policy of this magnitude would be created through the regulatory process. I mean, this was something that we warned about very early on in this process, that 2,700-page bill would turn into hundreds of thousands of pages of regulations. That's what we saw. That's where this mandate came out of. So along with a significant victory for life, a significant victory for pushing back on executive overreach, I think we're hearing from the Hill that they are grateful that the bureaucracy that has gotten out of control also got a stinging rebuke through this ruling.
You know, it's interesting, David, in the majority opinion, Justice Alito writes, we hold that the regulations that impose this obligation violate RFRA, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which prohibits the federal government from taking any action that substantially burdens the exercise of religion unless the action constitutes the least restrictive means of serving a compelling governmental interest. They said the HHS mandate is unlawful. They reject HHS's argument that the owners of the company forfeited their RFRA rights when they became a corporation. That, you know, there are some on the left trying to cabin this. There's no cabining this, David. This was a gigantic victory for religious freedom. Huge.
Huge victory. Huge victory. This is what was at stake here was essentially the Religious Freedom Restoration Act itself as it applied to businesses dealing with the public, as it applied to even nonprofits. I mean, the extent of this is huge. And so look, what this did is it said, look, if you're forming a business, if you have a family-run business, you're not just a mere agent of the state doing whatever the state tells you to do. You have liberty right interest, you have religious freedom rights, and that makes us consistent with common sense. It makes us consistent with the rest of the legal framework as
right.
It applies to corporations. This was a big victory, and that's why the dissent is so vociferous. They know this was a big victory.
Well, some that came out and tried to say this was a narrow decision. When I was on Fox, I said, well, Justice Ginsburg obviously doesn't think it was a narrow decision because she said this was drastic. And of course, I don't think it's drastic. I think it's just following through with a law that makes sense. People that have Christian convictions or other religious convictions should not be forced to remove those when they're in the marketplace. How are we doing? I'm not on, as everybody can hear, I'm in London, so I'm not in the studio. How are we doing time-wise, Than?
About 3.5 minutes left. We got time for a call in this segment of the broadcast, Jay. We've got
great.
A lot of people calling in about it. 1-800-684-3110 to be a part of the broadcast. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Bill calling from Texas on line 3. Bill, you're on the air.
Hey, I really appreciate what's happened. I've been following you since I used to work at the 700 Club back in the mid-80s, Jay. So
well great
job. The question I have is, what's to prevent Obama from circumventing this thing like they did with the years ago with the flag, burning the flag, and then
In other words, is there going to be a way to craft some kind of executive order around this. Very difficult to do that when you've got a Religious Freedom Restoration Act statute that's been interpreted this way. That doesn't mean the president won't try. But at the end of the day, they don't carry the day on this. So I'm optimistic, actually, that we've got not only a significant win here, but one the administration is not going to just be able to waltz around, dance around. I think we not only carried the day, but the court made it very difficult for the administration to ignore a statute, a federal statute that mandates protections affirmatively for religious freedom. So for the administration, doesn't mean they won't try. Believe me, they will probably try. But the reality is they could try all they want, but at the end of the day, the fact is religious liberty here carry the day, and that 5-4 decision does not give the Obama administration a lot of wiggle room on trying to get around that. So they may try, as I said, but I'm optimistic that they are going to lose if they do try. And by the way, we will be fully prepared. Let me also say this, folks. We are starting our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. Everything's getting underway tomorrow. But if you want to help the ACLJ out, you could do that by going to ACLJ.org. That's how we're able to do cases not only at the Supreme Court, but around the globe. So ACLJ.org is the easy way to donate. I'm going to ask you to support the work of the ACLJ. It not only keeps this radio broadcast on the air, but keeps us in the fight, literally around the globe, as I'm in London today dealing with Middle East matters, and, of course, celebrating this win. Also, I'm going to be on Fox News tonight with Sean Hannity talking about this victory. But this is a major victory with major repercussions. And David, I don't think anybody's going to be able to take away how significant of a win this is.
No, that's absolutely right. And let's not forget, this is coming on the heels of big defeats for the Obama administration in the Supreme Court last week. So last week, pro-life speech won a big victory. Last week, the separation of powers and the ability of the president to run roughshod over the Constitution in his appointments was defeated. And now the HHS Obamacare abortion pill mandate has been defeated. We get all the time people are calling us and saying, what can we do? What can we do? How can we oppose the Obama administration? Are they always going to win? Here's what you do. You take them to court and you beat them. They have now lost four straight, because we haven't even talked about the union case that they lost. They have lost four straight huge cases at the Supreme Court, two of them unanimously, where they have been rolled back in their efforts to attack life and to attack liberty and to attack the separation of powers and the Constitution itself. That's how you fight back. Learn more at ACLJ.org. We're going to be talking more about this victory at 800-684-3110. But again, go to ACLJ.org to learn more about this victory. We're going to be back with Jay here in a moment, breaking down this decision, analyzing it, taking your calls. But for now, the bottom line is life wins, liberty wins, Obama administration defeated.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. What appeared to be a tremendous victory for religious freedom has taken an unexpected turn for the worse. Miriam Ibrahim, imprisoned with her two young children because of her Christian faith, had been released by the Sudanese government, spared torture and the death penalty. But one day later, while she and her family were at the airport, her attorney says she was rearrested and her family taken into custody by Sudanese officials. Miriam and her family's fate are now unclear. At the ACLJ, we've launched a global campaign on Miriam's behalf. Now we must focus on pressuring Sudan to release her and the family and permit them to return to the United States. Time is of the essence. We must apply immediate international pressure to free Miriam and her family. And we must urge the Obama administration to grant Miriam and her American kids safe passage and immediate legal status in the United States. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We continue to talk about this monumental victory for religious freedom that just came down from the Supreme Court of the United States. And folks, I just want to remind you why we are in this position, why this ruling was even needed from the Supreme Court. We are only in this position because the Obama administration was insistent that abortion be a central pillar of every part of this law, every part of Obamacare. That is the only reason that this challenge and the challenges that we brought even had to be brought forward in the first place. But in the same place, as if they had been permitted to have their way, they would also have the power to reach into our lives in any other number of ways. So I think David and Jay defined this properly in the last segment of the broadcast when they said that it's a victory for life, it's a victory for freedom, and it's a victory against the overreach of the executive. And David, I don't think we can overstate the stinging defeat, the stinging nature of this defeat that this really is for the Obama administration.
Oh, that's right. And especially when you place this in context. I mean, first, the political context of the last several years. Obamacare wasn't just Obamacare. It was a vehicle for writing regulations like this, where outside of the democratic process, the Obama administration tried to ram its pro-abortion agenda down the throats of faithful Americans. This is a defeat for that. It's a defeat for that policy. It's a defeat for that practice. And that's key. It's a huge win for the very concept of religious freedom in this country. That used to be a bipartisan concept, by the way. The Religious Freedom Restoration Act that was used to defeat the HHS mandate was one that was sponsored by many, many Democrats, was celebrated by many, many Democrats when it was passed. I wrote a cover story in National Review about this very thing. This was something that President Clinton himself strongly supported. So how far we've come from that administration to this administration in their view of basic religious liberty. And then this is it's in the court of public opinion, big defeat. Big defeat for the Obama administration, exposed as lawless once again.
I'm reading through some of our summary analysis, and I'll tell you something that's striking here, is that and when people are saying, well, what does it really mean for religious freedom? It couldn't be any clearer. The court says that the number one, the HHS mandate is unlawful. They reject the HHS argument that owners of companies forfeit all Religious Freedom Right Act protections when they decide to organize their business as a corporation. The plain terms of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act make it perfectly clear that Congress did not discriminate in this way against men and women who wish to run their businesses as for-profit corporations in a manner acquired by their religious beliefs. Since RIPRA applies in these cases, you have to determine if the HHS regulations are the least restrictive means. And do they substantially burden the exercise of religion? The court says, yes, it burdens the free exercise of religion, and it's not the least restrictive means. So it could not be any clearer for the naysayers that may be out there. It could not be any clearer. This was a gigantic, underscore again, gigantic win, and I think puts at rest this issue and is a huge rebuke to the Obama administration. Again, folks, I want to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. These are the kind of days we celebrate, but we can't do it without you. And I also want to thank all of our ACLJ members that are listening to this broadcast as I'm coming to you from London. Without you, we don't get to do this. So those that God has touched and put a burden on your heart for our work at the ACLJ, I just want to say right now, thank you. We could not do it without you. And I will tell you this also, a lot of legal groups were involved in these fights. You had, as I said earlier, I want to say it again, you had the Alliance Defense Fund representing the Conestoga Wood family. You had the Beckett Fund representing the Hobby Lobby folks. You had the ACLJ. I think we had, what was it, David, 7 clients throughout the country, 2 of those cases at the Supreme Court. A lot of other legal groups, too. I don't want to leave anybody out. This was a huge effort by a lot of people and a great result.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just in our efforts alone, we have 2 cases up there, 7 big cases, all of which we'd won to this point. More than a dozen amicus briefs filed all over the country on this. This has been a years-long attack from the ACLJ against the Obama administration's abortion pill mandate. So if we sound like we're in a celebratory mood, it's for a good reason.
I also want to thank, of course, all of our legal staff that worked on this, but especially Frank Mannion, Jeff Surtees, and Ed White, who really, as senior lawyers with the ACLJ, really led the charge on this. These guys were litigating these cases, folks, when they first started, continued it through, and then, of course, David and his team have done an unbelievable job of advocating this. Fan did a great job on the legislative side. So all the way around, a thank you to our entire team and also to our law clerks in Virginia Beach and CC Heil that's working there today. That whole team getting this stuff ready. David, your team there. First-class job, folks. I was on the air when this thing was breaking live, and we actually knew before they were reporting it what was going on. That's how we had this thing wired and ready to go, and we're thrilled that we're able to broadcast to you every day. I don't know, Dan, if we have time for another question, and I know we'll be here for another 30 minutes, so we'll be taking more calls.
Yeah, we do have time for a question. I would also just say, just to echo what you said, when we were first evaluating this legislation, it became crystal clear that this administration was going to make this law about abortion at every possible turn. We said it at the beginning. I think this decision from the Supreme Court underscores that not only were they right, but they made it about abortion to an extent that they could not defend in the courts. This is a big victory for life as well. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Raymond, calling from Rhode Island on line one. Raymond, you're on the air.
Well, thank you. I hope to make a donation to the ACLJ later on today. I've been a little bit discouraged listening to some of those news stories related to, like, the administration trying to tell a religion who it could hire, Mikey
right.
Weinstein interfering in the personal religious activities
right.
of people. And
yep.
It just seems, I heard somebody say that those people who believe in the separation of church and state don't necessarily believe in the separation of state and church. That they
well, you know, there's some truth to that, but let me tell you the end result here. And I understand your frustration, but here's the good news. At the end of the day, the Mikey Weinsteins of the world don't win their cases in court, and today the Obama administration lost in court. So, and lost in a significant way. I don't know if they've issued a statement yet, Fan, but this was a huge loss for the administration, who was compelling, including compelling nuns, to violate their religious conscience, okay? That's how aggressive the administration has been here. And I, like I said, I don't know if we have a response yet from the administration, Fan, but it'll be very interesting to see what they actually say.
Right. I have not seen one. I would just echo what you said to Raymond. We have to deal with political realities. But listen, when we have an opportunity, and there were two huge ones, this Hobby Lobby decision that came out today, and then last week in that Noel Canning case where we represented the Speaker of the United States, people need to understand just how significant of a rebuke these two cases taken in tandem, along with the other one last week as well, were to the administration. I don't know, Jay, exactly what they will say when they respond to this, but I've got to tell you, they have to be over there wondering just what hit them today, because this was a very, very bad week for the Obama administration at the Supreme Court.
Yep. Let me say this, folks. We're also still working on that case involving Miriam Ebrahim. If you want to sign her petition, you could do that at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org to help Miriam Ebrahim. We'll be talking about more about her case in the days ahead here, especially as we're broadcasting from London. Let me also say this, folks. Thank you for supporting the work of the ACLJ. We couldn't do it without you. We're closing out our month right now. We could set a record for this month with your help. So go to ACLJ.org, last day of the month here. Support the work of the ACLJ. You can even call in your pledge at 1-877-989-2255. So ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. And we're here for another 30 minutes.
At the ACLJ, we've launched a global campaign on Miriam's behalf. Now we must focus on pressuring Sudan to release her and the family and permit them to return to the United States. We must apply immediate international pressure to free Miriam and her family. And we must urge the Obama administration to grant Miriam and her American kids safe passage and immediate legal status in the United States. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, ACLJ.org.
everyone. Welcome back to the broadcast. Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. We continue to celebrate, in a way, folks, a major victory from the Supreme Court of the United States, the third victory in just a few days, all stinging rebukes to the Obama administration's, all victories for whether it be free speech or separation of powers or today victory for life and freedom. And Jay, I know this is a day that as a accomplished Supreme Court litigator, you look forward to when you get a ruling like this from the Supreme Court. It really does set the tone for a very good day.
Well, it does, because it wasn't just one case. I mean, there were two cases that the court heard argument in, but there was probably, and David may know the number, we had seven. So I'm imagining there was probably 50 or 60 cases pending in the United States right now in the courts. So what this does, I want everybody to understand this, this decision sets the rule for all of those cases as well. So when we say an overwhelming victory, we're talking about from coast to coast here. I mean, you know, it's interesting, Dan, if I could paint the picture here. I'm looking out right now over the Parliament building. I'm staring at Big Ben. I'm overlooking the House of Commons and the House of Lords in England. And that was the shot they had when I was on Fox this morning, and I'm sure it's the same shot tonight. But it's interesting. When you look at our freedoms and liberties, well, a lot of the same kind of freedoms and liberties here. But this protection of religious freedom here, the way our court system works, this answers the Obama administration. Now, the question will be, and I can't imagine they're going to proceed on this, David, and I know you were talking with Frank about this, but, I mean, like the Little Sisters of the Poor, they're not going to, I don't even think the Obama administration would try to push that one any further. Maybe they will, but that would be really stretching it.
Oh, at this point with the Obama administration, I wonder if they'll just push as far as they can push, as long as they can push, but this is a devastating defeat for that whole mindset. And this is something, this is not just a defeat in isolation. Looking back at the last 4 days, defeated on trying to censor pro-life protesters unanimously, defeated on trying to appoint people to critical offices while Congress is still in session unanimously, and we represented Speaker of the House John Boehner in that. And then today they also lost a big case in the union, in the realm of unions, a big First Amendment case. So that's 0-4 in very important cases. And this comes at a critical time because there's been a lot of people saying, hey, how can we fight the Obama administration? This is how
you
do it.
You know what we've always said? The courts are, and that doesn't mean they're always going to agree with you, but they did in these ways. And David's right. Last week, folks, we had that. We represented John Boehner in that challenge to the Obama administration's recess appointment power. We won that unanimously. As I said, in these cases, in the pro-life cases, we not only filed an amicus brief, but I had the predecessor case, a series of them at the Supreme Court. We won that 9-0. Even the liberal members of the court said Massachusetts went too far in banning pro-life protests. Then you had the win at the Hobby Lobby, Conestoga Woods cases today, which affects literally hundreds of cases around the country. And then the unions get a rebuke where the administration was, of course, siding with the unions on this issue of compelling home care workers taking care of their family to pay agency fees to a union. A mother taking care of her son and gets a supplement from the state that wanted her to compel her to pay an agency fee to the union. That's how absurd this administration and those that are pushing that agenda will go. Folks, we're going to be taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Fan, any more congressional reaction?
There's been a lot of congressional reaction. Really, a sweeping victory for religious freedom is the overwhelming response that we're hearing. Not a lot of response from the Democrat side of the aisle, but I let me just say this, Jay. You guys have been talking about the significant legal burden here at the ACLJ to litigate these seven cases, to including those two there at their Supreme Court, and including filing a brief in the Hobby Lobby case. But people also need to remember that legal team, Ed White, Frank Mannion, Jeff Surtees, they also filed 12 briefs on behalf of 43 Catholic organizations. We represented, get this, 79 members of Congress in this case. This has been a huge lift for the ACLJ. That is one of the reasons that we're so excited today that victory has been achieved.
Folks, I want to encourage you to go to ACLJ.org, make an online gift to the ACLJ. We're closing out the month strong. We could use your help. ACLJ.org, 877-989-2255.
Thank you.
What appeared to be a tremendous victory for religious freedom has taken an unexpected turn for the worse. Miriam Ibrahim, imprisoned with her two young children because of her Christian faith, had been released by the Sudanese government, spared torture and the death penalty. But one day later, while she and her family were at the airport, her attorney says she was rearrested and her family taken into custody by Sudanese officials. Miriam and her family's fate are now unclear. At the ACLJ, we've launched a global campaign on Miriam's behalf. Now we must focus on pressuring Sudan to release her and the family and permit them to return to the United States. Time is of the essence. We must apply immediate international pressure to free Miriam and her family. And we must urge the Obama administration to grant Miriam and her American kids safe passage and immediate legal status in the United States. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C., David French in Franklin, Tennessee, and Jay is joining us by cell from London, England. Folks, let me read for you the response from Congressman Randy Forbes, a good friend of the broadcast, responding to the major religious freedom victory at the Supreme Court of the United States this morning. He said, "Religious freedom is the cornerstone of a free society, and every American, regardless of whether we are religious, should be concerned when the government attempts to restrain free exercise. We live in a country whose laws respect freedom and diversity, and today the Supreme Court affirmed the Constitution's strong protections for all Americans to live and work by their convictions." I echo those comments. We thank Congressman Forbes for standing with us. He was one of the 79 members, folks, who signed that brief in those 12 cases in a very early stage on the nonprofit side of this litigation. From the very early stages, Randy Forbes was with us, as were a number of other members. Folks, this has been a long process, and if you hear jubilation in our voices, it is because these last 5 years have been tough in many ways, folks. And when we get a victory like this one, a significant victory from the Supreme Court of the United States, a stinging rebuke on the executive overreach of the Obama administration, it is definitely cause for celebration. And we want to share that with you in this segment of the broadcast. If you want to be on air with us, you can call 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. We are going to go to Roger calling on line 5 from Florida. Roger, thank you for holding, and you're on the air.
Hello, Sam. How are y'all doing today?
Doing well. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. I told you, screener, that I'd like to know what the dissenting opinions were and how they came to that kind of reasoning. And I'll go ahead and hang up and listen on the air.
All right, thanks, Roger. I'll go to David for the analysis on the dissent and what that might mean. But you also mentioned to the call screener you thought it should have been a 9-0 decision, and I hope you saw Jay on Fox News this morning, because he was essentially asked that question and asked what he would have liked to have seen in that decision, and I thought his response was telling. He said, Martha, when I argued at the Supreme Court and I had lost at the lower level, what I was looking for in a decision was the word reversed in there somewhere. So, David, I think we need to be very clear in this. This was a victory at the Supreme Court of the United States.
Well, a 9-0 decision has the same, a 5-4 decision has the same legal effect as a 9-0 decision. So that the margin of victory doesn't matter for the legal effect of the decision. As for the dissent, it's a very angry dissent. And the key of it is they just don't believe that Hobby Lobby should have been able to exercise religious liberty rights. They just don't believe that these family businesses should be able to exercise religious liberty rights. And this is a position that is at odds with really hundreds of years of American law, of at odds with common law. It is at odds with the concept of what a business is and what a business does. But it's essentially the idea that that the government can enlist private businesses in its ideological crusades, and it just cannot.
It's by Sel from England again. And, Jay, the last caller was asking about the difference between a 9-0 decision and a 5-4 decision. I cited your response on Fox News this morning, but when you're talking about the Supreme Court of the United States, a victory is a victory is a victory.
As I said, and I know you cited the example, but as I said with Judge Napolitano this morning, I had a case a couple years back, a couple decades, probably 10 years ago. I'll never forget it. The former late Chief Justice, Rehnquist, asked me a question. We had lost the case below in the lower court, and the case came up, and he said, "Well, Mr. Sekulow, exactly how do you want this opinion to read?" And I said, "Well, I don't know, Mr. Chief Justice. Somewhere in the opinion, I'd like it to say reversed," which he laughed, and the court laughed, and we ended up winning that case, by the way. I'm not sure it was unanimous. But at the end of the day, I mean, unanimous is always great, but it doesn't make any difference. Someone asked me today on media, well, the fact that John Roberts didn't write the opinion, what signal is that? And here's the signal. He was one of the five votes to strike this law down, this mandate down, as violating the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. His vote was one of the critical ones. You had to have five. He was one of the five. So the fact that they don't write the opinion doesn't mean anything as far as its credibility or weight goes. So this was – the naysayers out there that may be trying to say this is not that significant of a victory, let me break it to you. It's a real significant victory, one of the most significant we've seen certainly in the last 10 years.
Yeah, and I would also just add the fact that, remember, folks, abortion was at the center of this debate, and any time the right to life is invoked here, there is going to be sharp division. The fact that the Supreme Court of the United States came down on the right side of this, very significant indeed. Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Jeff is calling from Virginia on line 6. Jeff, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a couple questions. First one, you mentioned small businesses, C corporations, LLC. Does that also include sole proprietorships? And
clearly the case for sole proprietorships would have even been an easier case. The thing that is not clear from this opinion is what happens to, you know, a publicly held company because of the publicly held nature of it. But for private businesses of any type or even any format with sincere religious convictions on this kind of case, I think it carries the day. Now, David, you've read the entire – I'm going through it now, but you read the entire opinion. What's your sense?
You're exactly right. I mean, a sole proprietorship would have been even stronger than the current opinion that we have now. I mean, it's virtually an airtight case. So absolutely a sole proprietorship is covered by this. You know, and there's another thing. There have been dozens and dozens of cases around the country, but there are hundreds, even thousands of businesses that have been watching this very closely to know what to do. So this is going to have nationwide impact over and above the 40 or 50 cases that are filed today.
Yeah, that's actually a very significant point, what David said. I think, like we said, there's probably 50 to 70 cases out there. But it's going to affect hundreds, thousands of companies that are concerned about this. So the ramifications are very deep here, really deep. And I think, you know, look, we saw this, and Fan said it earlier, and he's right. We said this was all about abortion at the beginning of when this legislation was, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare was put through. That's what it was about. That's what it was about at the Supreme Court last week, and that's what the Obama administration lost on today.
Yeah, and Jay, I would just say this was a victory for life. It was a victory for religious freedom. It was also a victory to push back on the long arm of the federal government. I mean, under the rationale of this mandate, if it had stood, there would be any number of other issues that the federal government would have had at least the justification to try to reach into our lives. This is a significant rebuke on that executive overreach, and especially with this president in the White House. It comes at a very critical time. It speaks volumes about what the next 2.5 years were hold. I don't think we can overstate that. Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Linda calling from Illinois on line 2. Linda, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking
Linda.
My call, and thanks
sure.
for all of you for going the battle for America and just bringing forth this religious freedom. I really appreciate you doing that. I've been praying about this. So my question is regarding the HHS mandate. Individual policies. For example, a person who's unemployed, they have their own health insurance, retirement, medical insurance, supplement, you know, that they're retired or they're getting their own supplement, self-employed, you know, and someone's on Medicare, you know, they're retired and they have a plan plus that supplement.
It's interesting because these mandates are pretty broad-based. And the question is going to be, David, how does the rest of the law comply with that? And I think that's going to take us a couple of days of and really give a thorough analysis and see what other regulations might be impacted by this. But this is, I don't want to overstate this, though. This isn't a free hand on every regulation. This was very targeted. It's a very broad-based opinion in the right way for religious freedom. But it was targeted. I mean, it was clearly the plaintiffs, as we did in our cases as well, knew what they were going after here, and that's what they sought to do.
Well, right. It was targeted, but it was targeted on a mandate that was very near and dear to the Obama administration's heart. I mean, this is something. Think of all of the mandates that they have delayed lawlessly over the years. And this one they stuck to. They would not compromise. They would not budge an inch. This one was near and dear to their heart. And if you doubt how this is playing in the more leftist side, their Huffington Post headline read above the fold, gigantic print, liberals crushed in court. And so that's how they're viewing it. They're viewing this as a big defeat. And so anyone on our side who's saying, oh, I don't know, that's the other side knows what happened here, and they know that they lost something near and dear to their heart.
Well, I think that, you know, David said it right. And it's going to be interesting to see what kind of response the administration's eventually going to have to say here. They're going to have to say something at some point. Evidently, Fan, as of now, they haven't.
No, they haven't. But this on the issue of separation of powers, this is significant. You and David have laid it out well. But this pitted a statute, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, versus the regulatory arm of the Obama administration, which has been very, very active. The conclusion, very clear. The statute takes precedent. It's a win for separation of powers. It's a win for the legislative branch. By the way, the second major win in just a few days, we represented the Speaker of the House of Representatives, John Boehner, in the case involving recess appointments. The big winner in that case, the legislative branch, and specifically the House of Representatives. Folks, this was a big legal lift for the ACLJ. It spanned years. We're talking about 7 cases litigated, more than a dozen amicus briefs filed on behalf of nearly 80 members of Congress. This has been something that has been front and center for the ACLJ for a long time now. This is a big win. It's a win for religious freedom. It's a victory for life. I encourage you, go to ACLJ.org, support the work of the ACLJ, allow us to continue to engage in these critical fights for you. Again, ACLJ.org.
We don't get fooled again.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
What appeared to be a tremendous victory for religious freedom has taken an unexpected turn for the worse. Miriam Ibrahim, imprisoned with her 2 young children because of her Christian faith, had been released by the Sudanese government, spared torture and the death penalty. But one day later, while she and her family were at the airport, her attorney says she was rearrested and her family taken into custody by Sudanese officials. Miriam and her family's fate are now unclear. At the ACLJ, we've launched a global campaign on Miriam's behalf. Now we must focus on pressuring Sudan to release her and the family and permit them to return to the United States. Time is of the essence. We must apply immediate international pressure to free Miriam and her family. And we must urge the Obama administration to grant Miriam and her American kids safe passage and immediate legal status in the United States. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We continue to talk about the decision in the Hobby Lobby litigation that just came down from the Supreme Court of the United States. And folks, you know, this seems like pretty simple stuff here. The Constitution is the highest law of the land, followed by statutes, followed by executive actions. It seems like this administration has been confusing that, but the Supreme Court of the United States over the course of the last week has begun to put that order back into place, has begun to tell the Obama administration that they must follow the Constitution and then they must follow statutes, that their executive actions, that their executive efforts have to comply with statute. They can't override statute. I think that is yet another significant angle to the victory that came out of the Supreme Court this morning in the Hobby Lobby litigation. We want to know what you have to say about the decision. We are going to go right back to the phones at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to start in this segment with Kevin calling from Kentucky on line one. Kevin, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. You may have already answered this. I haven't heard the whole program, but doesn't this make the entire law unconstitutional because there was no segregation clauses in it?
No, the answer is it does not negate the entire law. The challenge was to the regulatory mandate alone. Now, what's interesting about this is this was a regulation that was being challenged. This HHS abortion pill mandate was not in the actual Obamacare statute. This was drafted by the HHS department at the behest of the Obama administration, and that is what was at issue. This was an undemocratic regulation passed by ideologues in the Obama administration. It was targeted, and it was defeated. But I tell you what, this is something that they are taking very hard in the White House. As we said last segment, this was very near and dear to their hearts. It was very near and dear to the Obama administration and to their allies on the Hill, and this is a stinging defeat.
And David, I think it also articulates why we have to stay so focused in these legal challenges. We, of course, believed that the entire Obamacare scheme was unconstitutional. We made those arguments. The court did not go our way on this. However, there are still significant aspects of this that we can win at in court. And this was it's difficult to overstate. I think you said it right. This is something that was near and dear to their hearts. This was a part of the legislation that they were not willing to go without. We saw that when it was on the floor of the House of Representatives, and Nancy Pelosi was not willing to compromise on the abortion language. So it's not like this is an insignificant portion of this law. Even though the entire law does not stand, this was a big loss for the Obama administration and for the Obamacare law. Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Michelle calling from Washington on line three. Michelle, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for taking my call. I celebrate this
Michelle, I believe we're losing you. I think you've got a bad connection. I might want to hang up and try back. We're going to be talking about this also tomorrow, so if you can't get back on, please give us a call tomorrow. But you told our call screener, you asked what was the basis of the case. And the basis of the case, what this was decided on, was the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. The Religious Freedom Restoration Act was a law passed some years ago at the behest of Republicans and Democrats. It was one of the most popular laws passed in the United States, which said that you cannot overcome an individual's religious liberty unless the government has a compelling interest that's advanced by the least restrictive means. And what the court here said is that the Hobby Lobby has a Religious Freedom Restoration Act right that it can assert, and that the government's action, the contraception mandate, does not pass the test. So it's a big decision.
You know, the interesting thing about this is I'm watching the media here in England, and barely a mention, which is not shocking, a little bit, I won't say none, but there's been some. But the reaction on the left, David, you were pointing this out earlier, Huffington Post, I mean, these groups are going ballistic on the other side as if it's the end of the republic as they know it because they lost. And they lost because you shouldn't be able to compel somebody to violate their own sincerely held religious belief. I don't think that's much of a stretch, and nor did five members of the Supreme Court of the United States. It clearly fell on basically some kind of ideological lines. But remember this, Chief Justice Roberts affirmed the constitutionality of the congressional authority to pass the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, but he struck down a provision that he thought violated the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is basically the free exercise rights of these businesses. So no matter what the naysayers are saying, big win, a huge win coming after the big win that we had, which really put the Obama administration back with their recess appointments. That case, we represented the speaker on. So, I mean, to say anything other than this is not a great day, it's a great day. The Lord was very gracious in these victories, and ultimately that's who gets the thanks.
And I would suggest, Jay, that a large reason for the silence on behalf of the Obama administration and on behalf of the left is the fact that this was a resounding defeat, but it was also a resounding defeat on so many issues that they really do hold dear. David and I were talking about this before you came back on the line. It was a resounding defeat on the issue of life, on the issue of abortion. It was a resounding defeat on executive power. It was a resounding defeat in deference to the legislative branch and in favor of separation of power. So on issues that large government proponents care about, this was a defeat and this was a victory for those that oppose the Obama administration on those key areas. Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Lois calling from Louisiana on line two. Lois, you're on the air.
Hi, Lois.
I work with a health ministry that serves the uninsured and the underinsured. And we're always facing those who do not have money for prescriptions. Does this new ruling take away the ability of a company to pay for contraceptives? Or does it just
absolutely not? If the company wants to pay for it, and it's not, by the way, every contraceptive, although there was only four that were challenged here. But no. If a company wants to provide these services, they have the right to do it. They can do that. If they don't want to do it on religious grounds in these circumstances, they have the right not to have their conscience violated, but it doesn't affect the situation you said at all. And that some of the left is trying to say that. So it's a really good question and a good call, but it's not the case at all.
And David, I would be interested in your comments on this, because when you talk about Hobby Lobby specifically and you talk about, as Jay was mentioning, the list of contraception or abortifacients that are at play here, only four of them, ones that actually, in the view of the Green family, caused an abortion, caused a pregnancy to be terminated. Those were the ones where they had a religious exemption to. Those were the ones that were challenged. The other 16 on the list, at least in this particular case, they had no objection to.
Right. And the left wants to make it sound like now women are going to be denied access to contraceptives. That's completely false. What the left lost here was their ability to be authoritarian and force people of faith to fund their radical pro-abortion agenda. That's what they lost, and there's going to be a lot of misinformation between now and then. But we have to be focused on message, and this was about religious liberty. This was not about denying health care to anybody.
Let me do say this, though, on a very sad note. Three bodies have been found and identified as the three boys that were kidnapped in Israel. We will have more developments on that tomorrow. What this means is the battle continues, folks. We're going to continue to work. But, again, I want to say a huge thank you to our team at the ACLJ and to our friends and supporters at the ACLJ. And don't forget Miriam Ibrahim. Fan will give you that number. We're still working on that situation as well. We don't want to forget that. But, again, a big victory day at the Supreme Court. Battles continue, though.
And with Miriam Ibrahim, she remains at the U.S. Embassy, and our call in the United States government is simply this. You let her get away once. Do not let her out of your sight again. She belongs in the United States with her family, with her children. Call now, 877-989-2255. For updates on Miriam or the Hobby Lobby case, go to aclj.org, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the ACLJ, we've launched a global campaign on Miriam's behalf. Now we must focus on pressuring Sudan to release her and the family and permit them to return to the United States. We must apply immediate international pressure to free Miriam and her family. And we must urge the Obama administration to grant Miriam and her American kids safe passage and immediate legal status in the United States. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.